You take your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians, please. If you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, go to verse 9. Paul says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You say amen to God's word, you may be seated.
Amen.
There's something I'd like to draw out of this scripture this afternoon with the Lord's help, and that is that latter part. He talks about, we are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you look up this word fellowship in the Greek, it has a twofold meaning. It means partnership or participation or communion. These are two separate aspects of this one Greek word. And by God's grace, I would like to talk about those two aspects. Begin with the first one, and that is partnership or participation. We have been called into a partnership with our Lord Jesus Christ. John 15 and 15 tells us that we are no longer more servants, but we are called friends with our Lord. It is something, if you really stop and think about it, what that means. Because we understand what a great God we serve, a great Lord we serve, how He is high and lifted up, how He is holy, how He is beyond our imagination. And yet in that verse, He says He's called us to something more than just lowly servants. We have been called unto partners, almost equal partners with our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and 17 puts it another way. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We are partnered with Christ in being heirs of what the Lord is going to give His Son, Jesus Christ. And this, we are heirs with Him. We are not necessarily going to receive the same glory that is due our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's not what that means. But it means we will be partners with Him in it. We will be there. We will be a part of it. And that is a great joy for the Christian. We do not have to be equal in our receiving of glory with Jesus Christ. That is not our goal. But it is a great joy just to be a part of it. Just to be gathered around the throne when He is given that glory. Just to be there when He is handed that book and He opens the seven seals. Just to be behind Him when He goes down upon this earth again and destroys the armies. Just to be there with Him. That is enough for us. We do not need the equal glory or the equal worship of our Lord. We know we are not due it and it would be unfit for us to have it. But it is enough for us just to be there when He is glorified. But there's a separate issue. If we will be glorified with Him, then we will suffer with Him. In that verse it says, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We are partnered with Christ in being heirs. If, there's that word if again, Brother Al. If we participate in His suffering. There is no picking and choosing of which things to fellowship with Christ in. We will be partners and we will fellowship with Him. But we will get all of Christ. We will get His glory, but we also get His suffering. Philippians 3 and 10, one of my favorite Bible verses. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, but also the fellowship of His sufferings. If we will have His glory, we will have what Christ had to have to earn that glory. And that is His sufferings upon this earth. If we partake of His sufferings, then we shall also partake of His glory. We shall sit with Him. Revelations 3 and 21 says, To Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. And as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. We will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. But that is all contingent upon what happens upon this earth. What has taken place upon this earth will determine what happens over there. This is our proving grounds. This is our testing, our dressing room. How we dress here will determine where we sit there. How we act here will determine what we do there. This is where it counts. There is no second chances. We messed it up, yes. God, by His grace, gave us a chance to earn, or not to earn, but receive salvation again. But this is all we have. We're not coming back to this earth in the same way we are now. This is where it counts. We mess it up here, that's what we have. We need to take that into account. It is a sobering thought. I know sometimes we think, we say we don't, but sometimes we still, by our actions, think that we'll live here forever. We're not going to. Every action, the Bible tells us every word will be taken into account to judge us. Every idle word will judge us. It's something we must take into account. But if we do it right, if we suffer properly, if we take it by grace, we will also reign with Christ. We will join Him in reigning over this world to come. We will be servants unto Him, but we will be right beside Him for eternity. We will reign with Jesus Christ. The second part of that fellowship, which has to do with us here on earth now, is communion. Communion can be defined as intercourse between two persons, or agreement, concord. When we have fellowship with Christ, it means we will also will have communion with Him. We will commune with Christ upon this earth. He's not a God that sits idly by in a distant realm. He's one that dwells with us presently here upon this earth. I was talking with my papa, and he's kind of sparked my interest in it a little bit. We were talking, and he was sharing with me some things that he had come to realize, if I could put it that way, in his walk with Christ. And that when everything is clear between him and God, when everything is put in its proper place, then there is sweet communion in prayer. There's times where His presence will just come down and just sweep His soul. And through the Holy Ghost, He can pray. Through the Holy Ghost, He can pray for others. Through the unction of the Spirit, He can utter words pleasing to God. That is quite possible. It's not just quite possible, it's expected of the Christian. It's how we are supposed to live. With all channels clear between us and God, there should be nothing that hinders us. There should be nothing. If there is something that comes to our minds when we kneel down to pray, deal with it then. Get rid of it. Once you do and you lay it before the cross, then you can have sweet communion with our Lord. He desires such. He desires communion. He desires to bestow upon us His Spirit and His presence. He enjoys it when we have communion with Him. And He wants such. That's why He bled and died for us. He wanted us back. He created us upon this earth, and we failed Him. We distanced ourselves from God. We severed the cords through sin. We cut Him off. But Jesus Christ, He wanted us back. So He came and He died for us. He paid the price that we could have communion again with our Lord. Through His blood, we stand free. Through His blood, we stand perfect. And we can kneel down with a perfect conscience and a perfect heart and talk to our Lord and Savior. This is the normal life for the Christian. It is not something extraordinary. It is not something beyond the norm. This is something that is supposed to be everyday living with our Lord. We should kneel down every time in our daily devotions and have sweet communion with our Lord. Or at least the possibility of it. Sometimes the devil does hinder. Yes, I understand. Sometimes the devil will fight. He will. But that does not mean it has to be our fault. That does not mean because we did something. Let it just be the aggravation of the enemy. Let it just be his attempts. Let it not be anything that stands between us and God but the enemy. And if we will fight, if we will push forward, we can push through the enemy and get unto our Savior. To have this communion, there are things that must be in our lives. They are needed. Three of them. The first one being trust. You will not be able to have communion with someone you do not trust. Communion is an intimate thing. It is very intimate. You cannot be with intimate to somebody you do not trust. If you think they have a knife behind their back just waiting to stab you, you will not be intimate with them. You will not tell them your secrets. You will not tell them your problems or your complaints. No. You will keep it from them. If you think they are trying to do you harm or turn you around, then you will not be intimate and not have communion with them. But we can have perfect communion with our God. He has nothing but our utmost best for us. That's all He desires. When He gives us His law, He does it for our own good. When He gives us His standards, He says, this is for your benefit. This is for your glory. This is that you may live perfect and you may live righteous upon this earth. That is why we can trust Him. He has nothing but His perfect will for us. The second, there must be like-mindedness. There must be unity between the two parties for them to have communion. If you do not have unity between the person you are trying to commune with, there will be no intimate conversation. If you do not have the same mind, you cannot commune together. If your mind is not upon the same things that there is, your desires upon the same thing that there will be no communion. You will have no common ground. For common ground or for communion, there must be common ground. There must be something equal to talk about. Something equally wanted or desired.
Come on, brother.
If we are of this world, we cannot have communion with Jesus Christ. If we have a carnal mind, there will be no communion. Only that which is spiritual can have communion with that which is spiritual. Jesus Christ does not have a carnal mind. Therefore, if we do, we are opposite to our Lord, and we cannot have communion. The third, there must be a desire for communion. You cannot have communion with someone you do not like. It's that simple. If you do not like our Lord, there will be no communion. If you can't stand to be in His presence, you will have no intimate conversation with Him. And quite frankly, if you do not like His presence, you will not glory with Him either. You will not be there to reign with Him either. You must enjoy the presence of our Lord. And you know no sin can stand in that presence. Therefore, if you will enjoy it, you must be clean. You must be pure. Without purity of heart, there is no peace in God's presence. God's presence will cleanse anything that is wrong, anything that is dark. Therefore, if there is sin in your heart, it will do its duty to remove it, and it will make you quite uncomfortable in doing so. So therefore, there must be perfect peace or perfect purity before there can be communion. We must desire such a communion. It comes down to our very core of life. Why do we not do those things like the world? Why don't we go? Why don't we live? Why don't we act or say? Sometimes things that are not in themselves wrong, but because they foster a carnal mind and a carnal attitude. They pull away rather than draw us close to God. Yes. These things must go. They must be gotten rid of. Yes. They must be put down. If there will be communion, like I said, there must be purity of heart. There must be purity of mind as well. You cannot kneel down and pray properly if your mind is bringing up past sins. It will not happen. You can fight with it all day long, but until you release it unto Jesus Christ, you will not have communion. It will stand right there in front of you, and you will not be able to get unto our Lord. And we must desire such a walk with Jesus Christ. We must desire such a fellowship and a communion with Him. We must ask ourselves in this walk that we are walking, in this walk, this life that we are living, what do we desire out of this? Is it the signs or the wonders that we have heard preached? Is it the revival that we have dreamed about? Or is it quite simply, like Paul put it, that I may know Him, that I may have fellowship and communion with Him? Yes. Can we say, if I do nothing but fight and struggle in this world and do not see one ounce of fruit from it, can I say I'll be happy in doing it as long as it keeps me in the will of God? Our ultimate goal must be Jesus Christ. Yes. That I may know Him. Yeah. Bert Clendenin told a story or a scenario, and Brother Steve can correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, if I was to hand a Bible to everyone in the church, go home that night, tell you to circle one sentence out of that Bible, bring it to me the next morning, I can tell what kind of person you are. He said, if you circle that signs and wonders shall follow them that believe, good and well. If you circle the glories of heaven and what we shall enjoy when we get there, good and well. But he said, if you circle that verse, that I may know him, he said, that's the man that I want to talk to after church. That's the man I want to get to know. He said, if your ultimate goal is one thing, that I may know Jesus Christ. He must be what we breathe for. He must be what we live for. He must be what we wake up in the morning for and go to bed at night for. Jesus Christ. If He is, we will have a prosperous life and a wonderful life upon this earth. We will have the first fruits of the Spirit. We will have the earnest of the down payment of Jesus Christ, which is the Spirit living with us. Daily communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Daily enjoying His presence, not something that is bottled up in a church, but that we have in our prayer closets at home. Something that we enjoy every time we kneel down and pray. This, once again, is the normal life for the Christian. It is something we do not hear about too often, but it's something that is expected of us. Jesus wants to be as close as He can get to His children. He loves us dearly. He proved that on the cross. We do not need no other sign from Him. He loves us dearly. He wants to be near to us. The worst part about sin, it causes separation. That, in the end, is going to be the worst part of hell. We can talk about the flames, and it is going to be terrible. The torment and the punishments, that's going to be just absolutely horrendous. But the absolute worst part, total separation from Jesus Christ. There will not be 1 ounce of the Spirit of God in that place. Not one hope. Not one joy. Not one comfort. You take Jesus Christ, and that's what you get. You take Him out of this world, that's what's going to be left. We get a picture of that in the tribulation. You take Jesus Christ out, no hope. No glory. No joy. It's taken from us. That, in the end, is going to be the worst part of hell. Eternity without God. This is something the Christian can understand more than the sinner, yes. But it's something we also can glorify God for. He has made a way of escape. He has made a way out of that which is befitting us. Hell was befitting us when we were in sin. It was our only place that we truly belonged. But Jesus Christ changed that. He made us fitting for heaven. He made us fitting for His presence, where we can be in there and glory in it. Not tremble in it, but glory in His presence. That is the wonderful works of the cross. He has caused reuniting with Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God. He has caused us to be brought into fellowship again with our Lord. If you'll stand this afternoon. This is the true glory of the cross. We can be brought back into fellowship with our God. We can be brought back into relationship with Him. Communion daily with Him. This is something that we will need in the times that are coming. We will need communion with our Lord. We will need times where we can come and just talk to Him personally. Not just utter words into the air, but we need to get a hold of Him. We need to talk to Jesus. We need Him. We need Him desperately. We need His presence. We need His Spirit. If there is no communion, this world will overtake us. We must stay close-knit to Jesus Christ. Let us come and pray, but let us come and make sure there is nothing, nothing that will break communion with Jesus Christ. If His Spirit says to deal with something, deal with it. Don't try and get around it. Just deal with it. You will be so much better off in the end. Let us come and pray. Thank you.